Next up, we have mobile browsers.
Okay, great, thank you. So first of all, let me say, it's a real privilege to be here in the Foson Mobile Dev Room, and I want to thank the organizers for running it and letting me come and talk to you about mobile browsers. As you'll have seen from the tricky start to this, I am running the presentation from my phone using an embedded browser. That's kind of the point of this. But things will probably go wrong, so just please bear that in mind. So, I'm David Llewellyn-Jones. I'm wearing a Yola t-shirt, but I'm not from Yola. Yola makes Selfish OS, which is a mobile operating system based on Linux. It's a Linux-based mobile operating system. And one of the things that you need on a mobile operating system is a good web browser. And so that's one of the things that interests me and that I'm going to talk about today. So let me see if I can get going. Yes, okay. So first of all, if you were here 12 months ago, then I would have been in this dev room talking about some work that I was doing to upgrade the Gecko engine for Selfish OS. And at the time I was doing a daily blog about it, and this presentation is not about that, but it does kind of have a relationship to it. So I'll talk just very briefly about that. If you do want to know more about it, then it's on my blog and you're welcome to take a look at it, and there'll be a bunch of URLs at the end. So when I was doing that, the text is very small, I appreciate it, but at that point in time, when I was talking at Foson, I was there. So I didn't know it at the time, but I was about halfway through. And it took 12 months. It was probably longer than it should have been because it was a spare time project. But I basically went through the process of doing the upgrade. And at the end of it, I guess I came out thinking, well, this is great, but is there a better way? Right? This is a very long period to upgrade the browser. Is there a better way of doing things? So I thought I'd have a look at what other browsers are doing. Other mobile Linux variants are doing, and see if there was something that we could learn from it. And so I decided to go on a bit of an exploration of embedded mobile browsers, and that's what this talk is about. So I decided to survey the landscape to try and understand what the other browsers were doing and to have a look at the ecosystem, essentially. All right, just before I carry on, I realize I've forgotten to take something out. I just need to bring this up here or I will forget some stuff. Okay, so let me continue. All right, so I named this talk The Best of Times, The Worst of Times. There was a reason for that, obviously. As we stand at the moment, we're in an interesting place, I think, with browsers and with mobile browsers in particular. So there are a bunch of really good browser engines, rendering engines. I'm sure you'll all be familiar with them. The top three are WebKit, Chromium, or Blink, and Gecko, I guess you could say. They're all open source. They're all really very good in terms of standards compliance. So there is a lot of good stuff out there to work with. And now cross-platform development, when people talk about cross-platform development, years ago people would have talked about different operating systems. Nowadays people include the web when they're talking about cross-platform development. And in fact, web is now a first-class citizen, to the extent that often things will be developed for the web first before they're then turned into apps on other platforms using those web technologies. So that means that the web has essentially come a long way, and it means that a lot of services that are available as apps are also available in almost identical form as websites. And this is great for services which potentially, if you're developing a native app for a mobile operating system, that's really nice. But if you have a service that doesn't provide a native app, it means you can access it through the website as if it essentially were an app anyway. And here I've got a photograph. This is my Selfish phone. It is actually, one of them is literally this phone, in fact. And you can see it's running my banking app on the left-hand side in a web browser, and on the right-hand side, it is an Android app using the app support, using the Android layer on my phone. And they're basically identical, and I can do the same things on them. So it's great that I have this capability. I don't have to have an app on my phone, an app developed specifically for my phone in order for me able to use the service. So in some sense, we live in the best of times. But it's also the worst of times, in the sense that these web apps are not designed for tight integration on my phone, especially if they're websites specifically. And so you don't get all of the benefits that you might have from having a native application on your phone. And moreover, services are often choosing to provide maybe I don't want to put that on there. It's worrying in a scary way. Okay, so to the extent that now maybe services aren't providing back-end APIs, they're just providing websites, which means that it's not possible to build native apps in the same sort of way. It also means that there is less motivation, less incentive for people to build mobile apps, because if the website is doing the job just as well, there isn't potentially that motivation to do it. And we end up with this thing called the region beta paradox, which is something which was coined by Dan Gilbert. He wrote a paper back in 2004, this is what I need my notes for, called The Peculiar Longevity of Things Not So Bad, where essentially what happens is they observe that people will walk for up to a mile before they decide, 20-minute walk, before they decide this is too far and they'll get on their bike. And they'll cycle instead and move into the beta region rather than the alpha region. But in practice, if they got on their bike straight away, they would actually have got there quicker. So it's not until you reach this threshold of pain that you decide to switch to an easier method of doing something. People even do this with simple medical conditions. If people have serious medical conditions, they'll go to the doctor, they'll get it sorted. But they'll suffer from really minor conditions that cause a lot of pain, even though it's not quite reaching the threshold of what people will then go and do something about. And the same is true for web apps. If the web apps are just good enough, then people won't develop native applications, for example, and so things will then not develop in the way that you might want. So I guess the point that I'm coming to is the fact that these brilliant browsers that we have access to are really great for Linux-based mobile phones, but there is a kind of a Faustian pact going on. There is some downside to it. But my ultimate conclusion about this is that they're definitely better for mobile Linux. Having these great browser engines provides us access to services that we wouldn't have otherwise. All right, I'm going to move tack slightly now. So this is a diagram. Again, it's very small, I apologize, but this is basically web browser history from the start. So starting off with Tim Berners-Lee, Jean-François Goff, and Nicolas Pello right at the start creating the web. And you go all the way through to today, and what you end up with is essentially these three big browsers. You end up with Chromium, we've got Internet Explorer and Edge, but that ultimately goes to a Blink-based engine. We've got the Netscape, which goes to the Gecko engine, and then we've got these ones down here. This is Chromium, which has the Blink engine, and you end up with these three types of engine. Yes, there's a question.
Can you press F11? Then the whole browser UI is gone and we can see this better. Sorry, I thought this was already.
Yeah, I've tried it several times and I can't.
On the right of the hamburger menu.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Brilliant, thank you. It literally hasn't grown any bigger, I'm afraid. But anyway. No, it goes off the screen if it doesn't. I'm really sorry. So don't worry about what the text is on here. It's just kind of to show a timeline, because what I really want to get to is the next slide, where we see what actual mobile browsers are using. And thanks especially to Peter for helping out, for fixing this slide for me earlier today. But you can see that basically what we have is we have Phosh, which is running Firefox with a mobile user interface applied to it. So that's using Gecko. We have Epiphany that is using WebKit GTK that is available for use on Phosh, which is, I guess, the GNOME default browser. And we have a Blink engine being used on Phosh for Chromium and in Qt WebKit. And that is usable but not optimized for mobile. So Firefox works great on Phosh. Chromium, in my experience, not so great. Only half of the interface is visible at a time. Okay, so it works, but you know, you have to do a little bit of work. But Firefox is excellent and is improving. On Plasma Mobile, we have a lot of Blink-based stuff. A lot of this stuff is built on Qt Web Engine, which is an embedded version of Blink that is provided by the Qt project. And then you have Angelfish and Malfiery, which are three browsers that are available on Plasma Mobile. On Ubuntu Touch, the main browser is Morph. Sapot is a fork of it, essentially, and they both run on Qt Web Engine, so they are Chromium-based. And MIMI, which is built on WebKit platform for embedded, which is this embedded wrapper around WebKit. And then finally, Sailfish OS, which is the one that I'm most familiar with, has the Sailfish browser, which is based on Gecko, and it has the Sailfish web view, which is a an embeddable widget that provides a browser widget for other applications. Okay, so there's a whole load of stuff going on. But essentially, you have these like three main engines. And I was really interested to explore what is the difference between these engines, and especially what are they like in terms of embedded use. So that's what I was looking at. So this is, over the last kind of year, what I've been getting to grips with. This is a graph of the internals of a web browser. And what you see here are, you have like the web server on one end, and then you get the data coming in through the web that goes into the DOM. That then goes to a renderer, which is what we normally call, when we talk about Blink or Gecko or WebKit, that's what we're normally talking about, the renderer. You have a bunch of JavaScript stuff going on, the JavaScript engine, SpiderMonkey or JavaScript Core or V8, as they're typically called, I guess, for those three different browser types. And then then you have your Chrome, which is your user interface wrapper around it. So I don't mean Chrome as in the web browser, I mean Chrome as in the user interface. And essentially, when you have an embedded browser, you have all of the same stuff going on your mobile platform, but the difference is that you don't have Chrome, you have instead, what you really want is a stable embedding API. You want an API that allows you to access the functionality of the browser in a stable way that doesn't change, because the underlying browser interface often changes. And you can then embed that without a user interface into another application. And a lot of the mobile browsers use this functionality. They essentially just wrap, they provide a native UI wrapped around one of these embedded engines. So what you really want for your mobile browsers are a nice rendering engine, a nice JavaScript engine, and a nice stable embedded API. No user interface. Someone else can develop the user interface for a mobile platform and embed this into it. So this is the embedded browser landscape that is really great for mobile systems. So you have, I should clarify, first of all, I'm clarifying what embedded means. So a lot of people, when they're talking about embedded, they might mean embedded low resource, embedded in some kind of device maybe. But from my point of view, when I'm talking about embedded, I'm saying embeddable in other programs. These rendering engines are not necessarily low resource, but for a mobile phone, that's actually just fine. I have email. On my phone, yes. So there is some kind of signal in here, it turns out. And the technologies that underpin embedded browser engines are those things that I've just talked about. And the three main ones, I guess, are CEF, which is the Chromium embedded framework, which uses Blink. They are WPE, which is the WebKit platform for embedded. And then finally, so those two provide a stable, like I said, a stable interface to these unstable browser rendering engines. And then finally, on Sailfish OS, we use Gecko specifically from Mozilla. And there we have this Sailfish web view, which is a web view interface. Great, thank you. I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to speed up. So I did a bunch of exploration to find out about these interfaces. Ooh. I want to go back one, I've missed one. And tested them all out and created a whole bunch of apps. Ooh. Okay, so there is like technical glitches, but I think we got there. So I basically created a mobile app using each of these platforms to experiment with them and to find out what their different interfaces look like. I guess I can show you one. This is the app that I look like. I basically developed the same app for every platform. All it does is embed some JavaScript in the page, which it runs, which basically just turns things red, and then passes back some data that is shown natively on the interface. And if you have that capability, so these three capabilities, you want to be able to render the page, you want to be able to send JavaScript into the DOM from your native application, and you want to be able to communicate data backwards and forwards. If you have those three things, then you've basically got everything you need to build a really nice browser around it. So, is this going to go forwards? Yes. I'm going to skip this. This was the JavaScript that I embedded into it, but it's really simple. And I guess the point about this is that it turns out I could just use the same JavaScript on every single one. It worked beautifully. It was really consistent and nice. And the takeaways from that exploration were that when you have one of these embedded frameworks, what you really want, you want a settings controller to control the settings of your browser. You want separate view widgets to embed the stuff into your application. You want some basic web controls, forwards, backwards, history, that kind of stuff. You want to be able to inject some JavaScript, and you want to be able to do this communication. Once you've got that, then you've got what you need to create a really nice mobile browser around it. All right, so I'm wrapping up. My conclusion was that essentially what Sailfish really needs is that it has that in the form of the web view, and the work that we're doing is essentially the same work that is going on in WPE and CEF to provide a stable interface. So in some sense it's necessary work in order to provide Gecko as an embeddable element inside other applications. Which means that we could switch to one of the other engines, and that could save us some time. But my personal view, I don't work for Yola, so this isn't my effort that I have to worry about necessarily, is that it's actually really good for the ecosystem to have all of these things available as embeddable engines in mobile Linux. So previously, I did the upgrade from 78 to 91. There are moves now in Sailfish to do the next upgrade. And the conclusion that I came to is essentially that this is actually really worthwhile work being done, but especially if it can be made available to more Linux mobile devices, so more mobile Linux platforms. So I would really like to see the extra work done to move it off Sailfish OS and onto other applications to provide a stable, embeddable interface for Gecko, which sadly Mozilla is not, unfortunately, interested in providing themselves. But if we can get rendering engine to head and start contributing back, then we might be able to make that easier than it is now, and it feels like there is a route to getting there. And that was essentially the conclusion that I came to from doing this analysis, writing some programs. And I think that's it. Oh, so finally, I also wanted to mention, so there is this really great project that is being undertaken. The Mobile Config Firefox project is developing the mobile interface for Firefox on Fosh, I guess on other Linux platforms. And there is this great package. I guess it was started by UserNaut. That's their moniker. Peter Mack, who is here, has done a whole load of great work on it over the last year. And their NLNet is now also funding it for Oliver Smith and Danny Collin. I think Oliver's here somewhere as well. Yep, Oliver's here. Excellent. To do the work to improve the user interface for Firefox and other platforms. So I wanted to just like shout out to that because it's really great work. All right, and I think that's where we're at. Here are some links, and thanks very much for your attention.